Hey, Made in Japan listeners. For those of you who are tired of getting confused when you are looking for your luggage at the baggage checkout conveyor belt, well, don't fret now because my friends at NA Stock Company, they have made some amazing looking and really fresh looking travel bag tags that you can put on your luggage for your next trip. And also, they have released their own weekender bag and a travel sport bag that you can purchase through the website, both with the travel tags. Come check them out at www.nastockcompany.com. They are a Toronto-based travel tags and luggage company. So make an order over $25. That's 25 Canadian dollars. You can get 25% off all your orders using the promo code Made in Japan. That's all one word. Once again, if you visit www.nastockcompany.com, if you make orders over $25, you can get 20% off all orders with the promo code Made in Japan. And take a look for the freshest travel sport bags, duffel bags, and travel tags. What they have to offer is truly fire.
There's like a no. Yeah. I think chicken menu is not something in Japanese is gonna like. You know, what? It's like, okay, I'll do my best. Try with pork. It's like, okay, well, I just did some kind of shashu with. Right. With the mole, which actually was really good and I like it.
Sounds very fatty.
But you know what I mean? Like, they always change the recipe or the flavor thinking about Japanese taste.
Yeah, adjusting to the taste.
And they didn't want to take the risk, right? And then I take the risk and I do it and people love my food. So now I kind of feel like a wow, you know what I mean? Like, they just needed to try.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides the sushi and sumo, anime and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Hola, amigos. Welcome back. And if this is your first time listening to my podcast, welcome. Today, we're going to talk about a food, well, also a cuisine that I'm pretty sure that almost everyone I know loves. And if you don't like the taco, I honestly think I don't know what to say, but I feel sorry for you if you don't like the taco. But yes, we are going to talk about Mexican food today. My guest is one Jaim Cifuentes. He is a Mexican owner, chef of a food truck. But not just any food truck. This food truck is a true, authentic Mexican taqueria that is located outside a craft beer bar in Shibuya, Tokyo. I really wanted to get and do this episode before the year's end, mainly because I just wanted to eat his tacos in the wintertime. The food truck business and trend has grown a lot recently in Tokyo, but if you walk and look more carefully, there has been a straight up taco boom, and it's really hard to see which place would be a place for a good taco. It's very similar growing up in the East Coast, in New York and New England, where people gauge and people take a pizzeria very seriously and getting the right slice of pizza. Who do you trust? Who do you trust for that slice? And just here, I feel now tasting a good taco, I want to know who can serve me that flavor-bursting bite of a delicious taco. I believe Jaim, he's doing something that is really worthwhile and tasty, and I think you guys should all check out his food truck. Even if you're not into the craft beer bar scene, I think just stop by and go outside and taste his tacos. I'm sure it's probably, you know, unless you visited Mexico and had a proper taqueria experience. Yeah, this is the closest they can get. So without further ado, this is Haim Cifuentes and his food truck, La Cabina Tokyo. And here we go. Question.
Yeah.
The weather today is awful. Rainy and cold. If I wanted to eat some of your food today, yeah, what do you recommend for this type of weather?
Well, definitely tacos is always the best choice.
It's always the best choice.
You have to put a lot of spicy to forget about the cold and the wet weather, right?
Yeah.
But we have actually seasonal menus. I'm just waiting a little bit to drop more the drop down the heat.
The weather. Yeah, okay.
So I do actually do soup. Oh, I do a nice soup menu or okay stew menu during the winter. So
what type of soup are you making now?
Sopa de tortilla, which is tortilla soup. It's very traditional menu in Mexico.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a tortilla made. A soup made by chilies.
Yeah.
Tomato.
Yeah.
And fried chips. So you blend everything in.
Yeah.
And before you serve it, you put avocados and sour cream.
It's really, really delicious.
And some cheese. So imagine that combination.
Like, oh my God, that sounds so delicious right now. So, man. So, anyways, we are here at the OL Bar in Tokyo, and this is not a Mexican bar. This is a
Scandinavian.
I'm Japanese.
Yeah.
Why am I here? I'm not here to talk about this bar. I'm talking about there's a food truck outside, and it's a traditionally Mexican food truck called La Cabina, and I'm here with the owner and chef of the food truck. Introduce yourself.
Of course. I'm Haim Cifuentes from Mexico, Guadalajara, representing the Mexican food here in Tokyo.
And I wanted to first preface by saying that in Japan right now, especially in Tokyo, there is a big Tex-Mex boom, and I want to stress the word Tex-Mex.
Yes.
And what I mean to that is that there's just taco shops popping up everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
And it's just mind-blowing. And I'm like, I don't know what is good, what is bad, right? So growing up, I'm from the East Coast, man. I'm from, New England, Connecticut, New York, Northeast area. We don't have, I will honestly say, we don't have good, I don't think I've ever had good Mexican food until I came to Japan.
Yeah.
And when I had your tacos, I was blown away because it's something different for me. It's not Tex-Mex, and I thought, man, I gotta talk to this guy. I gotta find out what he's all about. So,
oh, thank you. As you said, we are not offering what everybody else is offering, which is usually a Tex-Mex version of Mexican food. What I'm trying to do with La Cabina is to have some of the traditional tacos that you have all around Mexico. So we don't have tacos from only one side of Mexico.
Right.
We have tacos you can have on Mexico City, some others on the region of Michoacán, some others that you only cook at home.
Yeah,
for example, So we have that kind of variety. Mm. What I wanted to do with the menu is to bring to people when they have my food and they feel the flavor and memory, like, oh, I have this in this place when I traveled to Mexico. Oh my grandma used to make this.
This happened to me.
Yeah.
It sparked. There was very few times in Japan. I mean, you were probably the second time actually where I've had like a really good Mexican food. But let's talk about Guadalajara.
Yeah.
You're from there. I mean, tell me more about this place. I've never been there.
Guadalajara is not probably. It's the third most important city in Mexico. Mm. Talking about industry, cosmopolitan, art, musicians, and universities. I think it's one of the most international universities in Mexico.
Wow.
It's in Guadalajara.
Okay.
So we have that multicultural city where you can have really nice museums, awesome bars, culinary ways is the best as well, like very expensive restaurants, very cheap, awesome food, cheap food on the street, like we have that by Italy.
Very attractive for the young people, the youth.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's funny because I have a few customers here in Tokyo, and it's like, where are you from? From Guadalajara. I've been there. It's an awesome city. For me, it's kind of like a surprising, like, oh, you've been to my hometown.
Yeah.
You like it.
That's cool. What was it like growing up? I mean, of course, it has changed, right? From since you were a child, growing up. What was it like growing up there?
Well, it was very, very nice. At my time, we used to still playing outside, outdoors, all the kids, like a group of 30 kids playing, spaceships, or like a motor race bike, but we actually have a bicycle when we put a piece of plastic on there between the wheel to make it sounds like a motorbike,
we put like little like plastic straws or
yes.
Make it feel like it's a motor.
So we always invent ways of what to play or we make our own toys, It was like that was my childhood. Nowadays it's a little bit different than it used to be. But I think that's everywhere, now with the computers and technology and stuff, social media, people stop to be interested to made their own playground.
Okay, cool. So I guess this is a two-part question. I mean, what made you decide to become a chef and why Japan?
That's actually a very good question. I think everything started since I was a kid. I come from a family of chefs. All my family cook. They actually own restaurants back in Mexico. But I didn't know I want to be a chef until I moved to live in Canada. It's when I started to cook by myself. And I started to explore with ingredients and also try new flavors, because Canada, it's a country.
Right.
Multicultural, so you have Indian food, you have traditional American.
Which part of Canada?
I was living in Vancouver.
Vancouver, okay.
Yeah.
So from a hot place to living cold.
Yeah, cold. Well, it's not too bad.
Okay.
Over there is this in cold.
Okay.
Yeah, but I found out there that I have this passion and facility to experiment with flavors.
Yeah.
And one of the things we used to do in Canada, my roommate and I, I have the chance that my roommate actually was a cook.
Yeah.
So in order for us to hang out with guys, we always make parties at home, dinner parties.
Yes.
People always say, like, I swear if you put a restaurant, I'll be there every day,
That's awesome, man.
And that kind of started to motivate me.
Like, what kind of food were you making at that time?
Well, we just do whatever seasonal we have. For example, in Vancouver, there is salmon a lot. So we used to cook like a fresh salmon, sometimes grilled, sometimes on the oven,
Oh, man.
Vegetables as well. Like in Vancouver, there is a lot of community. They like organic and they harvest their own ingredients. So,
and I would imagine, my image of Vancouver, I haven't been there, but there's a lot of Asian influence. I think there's a lot of Asian influence. Immigrants. So,
totally right.
Right, from Asia. Is that where you got your influence with, getting some experiences with eating some of the Asian food as well?
I wouldn't say that, but definitely one of the things that I like the influence on Asian food is they like everything fresh.
Yeah.
Like you have too many good choices, fresh and organic.
Yeah.
So that definitely is something that I appreciate, because that gives me the facility to have more condiments or more fresh ingredients.
Okay. So if I was a visitor going to Vancouver, and you were my tour guide, where would be the restaurant, or what would be the dish that I have to eat?
Well, that was a long time ago, so I'm pretty sure everything has changed now, but I guess there was a very nice place in Commercial Drive, which is actually a vegetarian place, and that place blew my mind, because at that time I have a friend, she was vegetarian, and she bring me there, and I wasn't so happy to eat vegetarian food. I'm a meat eater, I thought it's gonna be tasteless,
right.
Maybe I'm not gonna be so happy, but that place. I remember that I had my meal. It was perfect. Even I ordered more, and I came back after with my girlfriend.
What? Yeah. What was the dish? What was the dish that started it? Do you remember? I think it was a burger.
The patty was made with oatmeal and peanuts and stuff.
Okay.
And they really make it flavored like meat, you know? And the consistency of the oatmeal and everything, like, it really looks like a patty for me. And it was juicy and with the cheese, and they have some kind of vegan bacon. Like, right. They really surprised me with the flavors and the authenticity.
It does, and it's now just starting to grow here in Japan, like the vegetarian restaurants or the vegan restaurants are growing. But like, I'm with you too. Like, those restaurants, whether it's vegan or vegetarian restaurant, they surprise me sometimes.
Yeah,
and they put something out, and you're just like, this is blowing you my mind. Like I remember having a vegan brownie one time.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is like the best brownie I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah. Well, people who know what they're doing, they really do good stuff.
They do good stuff. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So, all right, Vancouver, Guadalajara, Vancouver.
And now Tokyo.
Yeah, how did we go here? How did we come here?
Well, I met my girlfriend, my wife now, there in Vancouver.
Okay. Great.
So then after we moved to Mexico.
Yeah.
And we decided to try here in Tokyo.
Okay.
She is from Tokyo, so that's why we moved here.
I see.
And here I am.
Was she in the food world too? Was she?
No. She loves to eat. So that was one of the things that really makes me be hanging out with her a lot, because a girl who can eat without being worried what to order, that's actually amazing.
It's a recipe for success.
Yes.
Great partnership.
Yes, exactly. Especially if you are with a chef that you want to try always everything.
Anything, right?
Whatever sounds weird, give me that one, you know.
So what was the first food that she, like the first Japanese food that she cooked for you?
That she cooked for me? That was the omir rice, you know?
Yes, I
think that's probably, we all have that same experience.
Yep. And you're just like, what?
You know, with leftover rice, they put tomato sauce, and they just cook it and put an omelette.
Omelette on top of it, and you're like, this is it?
With a happy face.
So why not an omir rice food truck? Why Mexican food truck? So, like, you came here. Like,
well,
I'm sure it's quite hard, right? Like, the food truck boom didn't happen.
I would say maybe 5 years.
Right.
When I arrived here, I remember I had the always curiosity to start a business. Of course, I mean, with no resources and you don't know anybody, not even the language, you don't know the sellers, nothing. So it was only my dream to have a business.
Tell me that process. How did that start with that? Because I think just even the language barrier alone is just really difficult.
So, well, pretty much start with a dream, right? So I always keep telling myself, like, okay, we're gonna set up a business. I like to do a food business, right? Definitely, the food business in Japan is very competitive because there is a lot of professional people here and doing like excellent food, really good deals. So I just start to ask myself, what can I do better than nobody else?
Yeah.
I think Japanese culture, they like that. Besides of the standards of quality, they like to go to the place that is better than everybody else.
And not even that, I think Japanese like authenticity.
Authenticity, yeah.
They want something authentic. Because especially in our neighborhoods, where we're here now, in this area, you know, the surrounding area of Shibuya, most of the Japanese that live around here, they can smell fake.
Yes.
Like really quickly.
Very fast.
And especially whether it's a restaurant or a food truck that's been produced by a corporate group or a home owner chef, right?
Yes.
I believe that these people here, the customers, will find out quickly that this is, you know, it sucks. So was that, but I would feel really nervous and I would be, I don't know, I would shake to my boots.
I'm nervous, man, still, you know. I think that never goes, but that's one of the things who also makes you to do.
Right. So supplier-wise.
Supplier-wise is tough. I'm still actually having a lot of trouble sometimes. I can have most of the ingredients that I need.
Yeah.
It's a bit pricey.
Yeah.
So I'm still related to people when they come from Mexico to Japan, or one of my partners is from the States. He also travels very often from here and there. So every time someone comes to Tokyo and asks me, what do you want? Bring me the chilies, bring me the spices, bring me this, you know, like, because here I can find it, but it's like 10 times expensive than over there. So
I don't think you have to worry about the vegetables, because the vegetables are amazing.
No, like, basically vegetables and meat, everything is local.
Yeah.
But the flavor of Mexican food, it very relies on the dry chilies. We use a lot of dry chilies, combinations and stuff. So. And the spices as well. Like,
I'm curious, like within you, for you and with La Cabina, do you use any like family recipes that you keep to yourself, or do you just start, you know, being creative and experimenting?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the beginning. I create a menu to bring me that memory that, oh yeah, I ate this. This taco in Mexico City, and it's exactly the same. Well, this one is my grandma's used to cook it like this.
Right.
I didn't follow the recipes because I just don't have it.
Right.
But I try to recreate the recipe through the memory who brings me. Like when I start to make my recipe menu, I follow just a basic idea of the recipe. Okay, this is pastor, right? Includes this, and that. And then I try with that base. No, it's something missing, and you start to add more or less, or take, you know. And then when I get the flavor, it's like, okay, this is the memory I wanted to bring. This is it, and I start to grind down my recipe, put it on my recipe book, and that's why my employees follow as well, right?
Okay. That's amazing. So now you had your dream. You want to set up. Where did you get a food truck?
Well. The idea of this food truck, as I told you, I have two partners.
Yeah.
One of them is actually a designer.
Okay.
So he's the one who do the idea of La Cabina, the name and the image.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of the menu.
Yep.
My other partner is who do all the contability and stuff. So we are a good team.
How did you meet them? Like, how did you guys come about? Where did you guys meet? Tokyo?
Yeah, we meet here in Tokyo. Originally, my two partners there were planning to do something here at OL.
Yep.
I was actually starting to have the idea to start my own business, and we just talk, and it's like, okay, let's do it. So you want to do your business, we want to do this here, let's do it together.
Is that where the connection with this bar?
Yeah, that's from the connection with this bar with them.
With the co-owner, the OL.
Okay, yes.
Peace. I think the marriage between this OL bar, a Scandinavian bar, and a Mexican food truck is oddly genius.
I think
so. Because it makes sense. And because it could have been any kind of food that would be like situated outside. It could have been like, you know, it could have been like a hamburger food truck. It could have been taco rice.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Or curry.
That's like all over the place.
Yeah.
All
the
food trucks are doing that. So.
Yeah, I think La Cabina, it fits perfectly with the concept of this bar, because, I mean, it's a Scandinavian and Japanese craft beer place. And I think La Cabina offers a kick of the spicy, the flavor, and the intense Mexican food, which it really mixes perfect with the beer.
With the beers, especially, and there's a lot of fruity beers here.
Yes.
And it makes sense to put them together.
And also, like, I think, I don't know, before, now I can see it more often, but before, nobody do like a fish menu in the Mexican food in Japan. So we wanted to try that. Because it's Scandinavians eat fish, Japanese eat fish, Mexicans we also eat fish, kind of our own version of seafood, so let's try that here.
And it makes sense, and I've always thought about this, so I had this conversation with a Korean friend actually, and we talked about how Korean cuisine and Japanese cuisine makes a happy marriage with Mexican food and a lot of South American very local cuisines.
Yes.
And it's because of the seafood and the way you marinate, and how these various countries, whether from South America, Central America, and East Asia, Korea, and Japan, I really believe the ideas of these, the cultures and their ideas of fermentation processing.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes so much sense how they should be fit together so well.
I also even believe there is the immigration of the Asian people to South America who brings that touch on the American or South American food on the fish menus. Right. Yeah, yeah.
And even like the sense of, of peppers, of heat, you know. I think, in my opinion, I think there should be more restaurants doing that, a marriage of Central America and South America with Japanese or Korean. I really believe so, but yeah, I don't know. It's possible idea? I don't know.
Maybe. Keep tuned. Maybe we do that. Yeah.
But so, okay. You open up the food truck and right here outside. Tell me about the first month or the first few weeks.
Well, the first few days was awesome. Like our opening was fully packed.
Yeah.
Like all our friends came.
Now, how were you promoting it? Were you just going straight up through, you know, social media?
We didn't promote at all. We just like we wasn't sure when we were gonna open because we were in a little bit late with the delivery of the car and some of the equipment. So we really have the time to make a social media announcement.
Yeah.
But okay, when we got all the parts together, it's like, okay, we are ready to go. Let's open this weekend, you know?
Right.
And that's how we did. It was very coincidence when we opened.
Yeah.
Also, it's the same week of the Independence Day of Mexico.
Yep.
So it was like, okay, it's a perfect timing to start, you know? Like,
here we are.
Here we are.
And it does help, you know, and the power of Instagram. You know, for any type of restaurant business, the pictures you have for your first pictures are beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Those tacos. I mean, are you taking the pictures or?
Me and my partner.
Okay.
We were doing all along together.
Because I showed them to several people before they even come here.
Yeah.
And I think I remember last time during the Rugby World Cup, I brought a couple of friends.
Yes.
And because I told them like, you guys gotta try these tacos.
Yeah, I
and
remember.
And I showed them the pictures on Instagram, and they're like, that looks sexy as fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing that we are actually not. We take our own pictures and we do our own publicity because we are gonna offer what we serve as well. You know, there is always this idea that the picture on the food looks better than the you get. But yeah, that's because it's true. They hire a cameraman who has all the experience and how to make the position, or even cameraman sometimes they make the food ineatable. They put things that you cannot. Things on the top that you cannot have that food anymore. You know, and it looks delicious, but
it's more about like taking a picture of the scenery. The surrounding.
So what we're doing, I think, is authentic in the whole senses, right? Like we take picture on the food we are serving here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a special photo shoot for the menu. You know.
So right now, what is the hot item? What is the popular dish?
Oh, it's hard to say, but now it's between the quesadillas and tacos.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, you know what? The quesadilla menu. It's really good. The quesadilla menu I started as a special menu.
Okay.
We do it for a month, and then we stop to sell the menu, and people keep asking the quesadilla. You know, it's like, okay, well. I think we're gonna put it back on the menu because people are still asking.
Okay.
And now when I look into the sales, it's always like tacos is number one, for sure.
Of course.
Then quesadillas and guacamole. It's just like those three.
All
people
seasons.
Love it. Yeah, all season, all the time.
So, my last two questions for you, they're kind of more into the future type of questions. I want to know, what would be your advice, I guess, you know, for future Mexicans who are having that drive and they're feeling that drive to come to, you know, work in Japan, whether it's being a food truck business or whatever. But do you have any advice for, you know, your fellow Mexicans that would want to come to Japan? What would you say?
Sure. I guess definitely not be afraid of the circumstances because, as I'm saying, like not be able to communicate and to understand the system is very impact. And for everybody, especially in Mexico, we like to make things done, you know?
Yeah.
So And that's a kind of limitation, but just not to be afraid and continue, and you're gonna learn on the way.
Yeah.
Be positive all the time.
Yeah.
I know it sounds very cheesy, but
it's true.
Like, if you are positive, the things start to come to you and the doors start to open.
I totally agree.
And then just being consistent in something is going to make you dominate it, be professional, or like have the experience to make things happen. So
right.
I think just that, like, if you want to do something, just go for it, you know. People is gonna tell you, no, you're crazy, it's not gonna work, blah, blah.
Right.
No, if you really believe it's gonna work, just continue. Like, you know, in my early days working in Japan in Mexican restaurants,
yeah,
I have the chance to make menus for them,
yeah,
and they always change my recipes. And they told me...
I want to know, what were the changes? Was it the spice, the heat,
everything? Like, we have food competitions, and I make these recipes for them, like 100% authentic Mexican food,
yeah.
And they were always like, no, you have to change this, or no, we don't eat chicken more than pork, we should make it with pork. And they always change my recipes. They were afraid make something 100% Japanese.
Luis, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
They said they don't eat more chicken than pork. Completely disagree. There's
I did a mole, mole recipe, and the mole in Mexico we eat it with chicken.
Yeah.
Originally it's turkey, but we don't have turkey all the time, so we use chicken instead.
That's right, I've heard this.
And there's like a no. Yeah. I think chicken menu is not something in Japanese is gonna like. You know,
what?
It's like, okay, I'll do my best. Try with pork. It's like, okay, well, I just did some kind of shashu with the mole, which actually was really good and I like it.
Sounds very fatty.
But you know what I mean? Like, they always change the recipe or the flavor thinking about Japanese taste.
Yeah, adjusted to the taste.
And they didn't want to take the risk, right? And then I take the risk and I do it, and people love my food. So now I kind of feel like wow, you know what I mean? Like, they just needed to try.
Have you ever, question, with in concern with cilantro, have you ever felt any, you know, because there's a lot of, especially for Japanese, there's a lot of people that are quite sensitive with cilantro.
Yeah, actually, Asia is very, occasionally happen that there is customers who cannot tolerate the flavor of cilantro. Yeah. I think it's a problem in their genes.
I've heard about this too.
Yeah.
It's like within their DNA. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
so it really tastes like soap for them.
Yeah.
So we have the choice to do things without cilantro, it's fine.
Okay.
Like, we don't want to just like, no, you have to die, you know?
No, shoveling, I mean,
if
like
you cannot have it, for sure, just let us know, you know? Like, people who is allergic to things, like, we have the preference for them to fix the menu.
Awesome.
Not a problem. But yeah, I mean, I wish they could have the experience.
I know. I think
100%,
I'm with you, my man. Like, I think they're missing out because I love cilantro. I love putting it in anything, whether it's Mexican or Thai or Vietnamese. I just put all of that stuff
in. Makes perfect sense with the spicy, you know?
It just makes sense.
Yes.
And also, I also believe like mint is also very underrated as a herb too. I think most people don't realize how mint can be just really change a dish for real. So,
Sorry.
All right. Haim, I know you're busy, but let's last question, my man.
No problem.
What do you see La Cabina in the future? What do you want to do?
Well, the idea is to have more cabinas all around in Tokyo, and then have our own shop. That's the plan.
Okay.
When it's gonna happen, I'm not so sure. But we're working on that. And probably another things are not related with Mexican food 100%, but definitely I wanted to do more things in the future.
I thought that was gonna be hopefully a future episode. I wanted to ask you about, like, what do you think about, you know, a fusion with Japanese cuisine?
Yeah, you know what? I want to start to do that very soon. I'm going back to Mexico next year.
Okay.
And I'm going to do some pop-ups over there.
Okay.
So I'm going to bring a lot of Japanese ingredients and start to do that. Like, I cook Mexican food with Japanese influences in my friends' restaurants.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, in Guadalajara, what kind of Japanese food do you think that they would be?
Well, you know what? We have restaurants, Japanese food in Guadalajara already. There is a ramen shop, there is a udon shop, there is a yakiniku, and okonomiyaki.
Yeah.
So it's quite popular now, Japanese food in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I don't know how authentic they are. The last time I went there, I really don't wanted to eat Japanese food.
Of course.
In Mexico especially. But,
it was so funny. I just came back from a holiday in London, and our friends, our friends were just hanging out, and then like one of my wife's friends was like, "Oh, welcome back, and so let's go to that sushi shop over there."
He's like, "No."
Thanks.
Yes, exactly. No. But I mean, the influence is there.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure we can do something interesting.
Okay.
Like what I wanted to do is a little bit more gourmet stuff. Okay. Not 100% Japanese. Like some kind of fusion.
Okay.
Let's say, just for example, we can make a guacamole, but instead of like a lime, we can use yuzu as a citrus, you know.
This is amazing.
And maybe put some sashimi on the top, like something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, it has to be not too complicated,
right,
just to have that influence, that fusion.
Right.
Something that I can find interesting. I didn't even plan in the menu, but I just decided I'm gonna do it when
straight
I'm
up
going
it,
back.
Yeah. Good. I'm actually looking forward to, you know, what you do, and I want to see those pictures.
Yeah. So I'll let you know. I'll send you the pictures.
Dude, hi, man. Thank you for thank you for doing this interview, and I hope many, many good things happen for La Cabina.
Thank you.
Let's do this again.
Yes, please.
Let's do this again.
I'll be happy to be here again.
For sure. Do you want to plug anything? Where can people find you on Instagram?
Sure, you guys can follow me. It's La Cabina. It's spelled LACABINA, Tokyo, TOKYO. Same for Instagram or for Facebook. Yeah, we are located in Shibuya, and Odagawa Show is in the back streets of Shibuya.
The good part of Shibuya.
The good part of Shibuya, when you find the foodie stuff, yeah.
When you see that.
Yeah.
Dude, hi, man. Thank you, my man.
Oh, thank you.
Gracias.
Gracias, Steve.
Another side note is I want to add La Cabina Tokyo, that was actually, I believe that was last month. It was their first anniversary. They had a great anniversary party, which I missed, and I wish I was there for that. And I heard it was a great all 3-day weekend, full out celebration of their first anniversary. So once again, a big shout out to Haim for having a chance to talk with me. He's a really genuine and sincere chef, and when you talk to him, you can just tell he knows and he loves food. So if all of you are interested and you want to try some really delicious tacos, come down to Shibuya and, you know, Google the OL Tokyo Bar. Right outside the bar, there is his Takiera food truck. You know, the hot items are his tacos, of course, but I personally love his quesadillas. They're just very magical. Anyways, you're listening to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. You can find me on Facebook and especially on Instagram at Made in Japan podcast, all one word. Or you can hit me up with my email. It's japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns. Or if you know anyone who has a story to tell and would like to share their story, feel free to message me through, you know, the social media sites or through my email. And stay tuned for my next episode. We're coming up to the end of the year, so I'm going to, for the end of this year, I'm going to try to put out 2 more episodes, if possible. But we'll see. Everyone, take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace out.